I could see the pain in your eyes, despair upon your face. It really touched my heart when you asked me to pray. I took you to the Father, but couldn't find words to say. So I yielded to the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit prayed. He felt your grief and sorrow that I could not comprehend. He went before the Father and made him understand. And there, in that holy place, your need was relayed. I knew not how to help you, so the Holy Spirit prayed. He was sent here as our teacher, comforter and friend. He talks to God in language no foe can understand. On your behalf he took my words, spoke them in his way, and Jesus interceded when the Holy Spirit prayed. He felt the grief and sorrow that I could not comprehend. He went before the Father and made him understand. And there, in that holy place, your need was relayed. I knew not how to help you, so the Holy Spirit prayed. He felt the grief and sorrow that I could not comprehend. He went before the Father and made him understand. And there, in that holy place, your need was relayed. I knew not how to help you, so the Holy Spirit prayed. There, in that holy place, your need was relayed. I knew not how to help you, so the Holy Spirit prayed.
And that's my gold nugget to you today, presented by Tina Sadler. It's lesson time now. Scoot up your chair. Lean in. Let's turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. I'll start out with verse 1 again. And to the angel of the church in Sardis, write these things, says he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you live, and you are dead. Can you imagine the reactions of this pastor when he receives this letter from the hands of John? I don't know if John remained in his presence while he read it, but can you imagine the expression that came over his face when he read this? Jesus is telling him, Pastor, you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. You are a dead pastor. Oh, that must have hurt. Now, he could have said, what? He may have said, John, you have given this letter to the wrong preacher. I am far from being dead. I am known throughout this city for my fiery preaching, for my pulpit proudness. John, you've given this letter to the wrong preacher. This is not me. He could have said that, and he may have at first, but nonetheless, it is written, you are dead, pastor. all of these letters were written to the pastor, because as the pastor goes, so goes the church. Jesus wanted the leaders of these churches to read this letter, to read this themselves, not pass it on to the clerk and get him to read it at a council meeting. He wanted this letter to go directly to the pastor. The pastor is the one to lead their flock. He is there to be an example. He is there to preach the whole word of God. Even if it includes God's judgment, even if he has to mention the word hell, fire, and brimstone, the pastor has the obligation to do this, to preach all of the word of God, because all scripture is good for doctrine. If you've got a doctrine and you have not included all of the scriptures that involve that particular doctrine, it may not be exactly what God wants. So, can you imagine the look on his face when he read this letter? But let me tell you, no matter how gifted you are, no matter how great your enthusiasm is, no matter what kind of an orator or how dynamic your personality, no matter what your social standings, no matter how popular or famous you are, the best you can ever do without the anointing of God on your life is to lead your people from one dead sermon to another. Have you ever wondered why people remain in such churches as these dead churches? The sad thing is that it is all too possible to become accustomed to living in the dead churches, especially when you are surrounded by dead Christians. The church and the pastor may have been socially distinguished, but it was dead, and all of its works were just grave clothes to disguise an ecclesiastical corpse. An Old Testament analogy of this is found in Samson, the charming, lovable hero of Israel, the great champion of freedom, the strongest man that ever lived. He did many exploits. He had so much heroic strength and courage that his name became synonymous with strength. But as you know, he had a sad ending to his life, and it all was the result of his behavior. Because of the things that he did, the things that he got involved with, God took his strength away. And when danger came his way, he was unable to meet it. The Bible records his inability in these words: "And Samson knew not that the Lord had departed from him." What a sad story. He didn't even know that God was gone. My, my. If God would die today, would it make any difference in your church this coming Sunday? If God would die today and nobody told you, would it matter at all at your church? That's something to think about. So I ask myself, is there any commendation here? Yes, but it doesn't come first. It comes second. Let's look at it in verse 4. "You have a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." In this dead church, full of dead people, there were a few Christians there. That's pretty typical. God always has a few. Not everybody bows the knee to Baal. There were some wheat in the first church of the tares. There were a few spiritual among the carnal, a few sincere among the hypocrites, a few humble among the proud, a few separated among the worldly, and a few regenerated among the unregenerated. He describes them as those who had not defiled their garments. The word defile is an interesting word. It means to smear, to pollute, or to stain. Verse 23 of the book of Jude tells us we are to have a garment unspotted by the flesh. And so here we have a few who had not defiled their character by sin. They were still wearing the robe of righteousness. A few of them still faithful in the midst of this unfaithful dead church. And as you can imagine, they were a thorn in the side of those dead heads. I'm going to end the lesson right here, but I'll be back tomorrow with another lesson on the Church of the Walking Dead.